All right, guys, I have some bad news here.
Oh, no, that's... What? Is that today?
What?
Today's the final day.
No, roast out today?
Today's the last day of the bundle, the bundle sale.
Oh, bro, it's 300... This is 1 year, bro.
It's done. After today, if you don't get it now, you'll never get this again.
Oh, we promised a year, right? It's been a year.
My dog died.
What?
I don't know. I just had to say something sad because of the music in the background. But I am sad that the bundle is ending. It's includes the MAPS Anabolic Program.
Yeah, I know.
The No BS 6-Pack Formula.
Oh, God, that was so good.
The Nutrition Survival Guide.
Probably my favorite.
The Intermittent Fasting Survival Guide.
Also excellent when traveling.
Access to the Forum for Life.
Right there, worth everything.
MindPumpRadio.com. Click on the yellow button, or Justin's not gonna stop singing.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go: Mind Pump. Mind Pump with your hosts Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I want to give a shout out to an awesome clothing company. Based out of San Jose, Blown Gear. They just sent us a bunch of
you are blown apparel. Out right now.
And dude, look at me, bro. Yeah. I'm wearing it right now.
Blown to the gills.
And let's be honest. Let's be truthful now. Okay.
Yeah.
Just when you thought I couldn't get more handsome, what happened today?
Listen, you're got some tidy little, you know, awesome.
You like
pants
that,
going
especially
on
when I sit spread eagle like this, Adam.
It's very sexy.
Adam, you're very picky. You're a very picky person. You're always the one to tell me I look shitty, but today.
Well, I have to say this, bro. And my first thought is something's going on with Sal. I don't know what. I haven't figured it out.
Something's going on.
But yeah, because we haven't seen each other for like a week or so now, and I'm just now seeing him. And he came in looking all swagged out.
He's all.
Mm-hmm. He's got the
muscles are all.
Oh
showing.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like defined.
Yeah, glutes are there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's got the fit. He's got the fitted,
like,
tapered
but he's wearing
joggers
clothes.
On right now.
Yeah, he's wearing.
He's
clothes.
Got freaking. Yeah. He's got the black sneakers that match with black low cut socks.
Mm-hmm. Very defined.
Mm-hmm. And he's got the 3/4 sleeve baseball shirt.
I think he took a page out of your playbook.
I think you do look like a little like me, just a little.
It wasn't
bit.
On purpose.
Like, almost look like we called each other today because I got my joggers on with my. Low black cut socks there with.
I'm within a couple points of you on the sex meter, which is usually that's pretty close.
Points.
They sent
like
us a,
get on a scale of 1 to 10, like 6 maybe.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got sent a bunch of stuff, maybe, and so I'm like, oh, this is cool, and a lot of it was a large size, which is, you know, too small for you, and Justin's big butt. So I took it, put it on. And I'm gonna say I'm not just kissing anybody's ass. Look, we don't work for anybody or anything, but I'm gonna be honest. These sweats are comfortable as shit. They're comfortable.
Looks like it.
Well, truth be told, this is the only reason why we have this relationship is this is where we get our shirts from, right? They have the same company as they use for the material.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why
it's very, very comfortable.
That's why we went with it, because we
and
like
cozy.
It. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I love their gear.
I feel slinky in it.
Slinky.
You know what I mean? I want to gyrate inside of them. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
I went too far again.
Yeah, you did.
I went too far again.
Too far.
You're wearing sweats, dude. Remember.
I got to change this.
You can see your slinky.
I got to change the subject because I need to say this. I did not. I've been meaning to say this, and I have not said this, and it just popped in my head. I need to fucking say this. There's a lot, especially in this industry, there's a lot of people with big, massive egos, people who are... you know, they look a certain way, they act a certain way, but they're douchebags for reals on the inside. A lot of these people look really good.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, you know, if you look at him, very fit, good looking guy, tall. But he did something, he initiated something over the holiday season that was, for me, incredibly humbling to watch. And he wasn't going to fucking mention shit. That's why I'm bringing it up right now, because he wasn't
going
to say anything.
Yeah, I didn't know you were going here.
As much shit as he talks on the show, the reality is the guy's, you got a big heart, dude.
He's got a big heart. He's a big teddy bear.
Don't get me all emotional over here.
He's
dude.
A big old
don't
teddy
get
bear.
Me all emotional.
Yeah, he's got a big heart. And I want to hear about how this went, because I wasn't able to make it. I was out of town.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to make it, but we, through Adam's initiation, adopted a family. For Christmas, And this is when you take a family who is, you know, for whatever reason, they're falling on hard times. They can't afford to get certain things for the holiday season. And so you adopt them and they give you a list and then you can pick what you want at that list to get them. And a lot of the stuff on there is like school supplies, clothes.
Oh, yeah. Most of it.
Decorations. Blankets. Christmas blankets. Like,
yeah.
It's not like bullshit. Like, these are stuff they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adam did most of the work on this. He took it and ran with it. And yeah. I wasn't there. So I want to hear about this. I wasn't there when you delivered all the stuff. So first of all, what did I say we get but in reality, you went and did most of the work.
It was Mind Pump. Mind Pump funded it.
Right. So. But what did you get? What did you go get for them? And how did that go?
So this is, I think my seventh year that I started, that I did this. And one of the years in there, I didn't, because the school that I get this from, one or 2 years, it might've been 2 years actually that they didn't do it. Didn't have the program, and it's the only this school I go to. So it's a teacher friend of mine, Lisa, a little shout out for her. She's been a client, longtime client, love her to death. She's awesome. And she put me in contact with it. They do it through Pioneer High School. And every year I've called down there and, you know, said, hey, do you have any families for me to adopt for Christmas? And it's always some random family that I get, and you never know. I just get an email, and the email has all their, it's really nice. It's actually a full profile on everybody. So I know if they have parents, because a lot of times it's a single mother, or, you know, last year I had a grandmother who had a boy and a girl who both the parents had died. Mm. And she was really in an unfortunate situation. So she wasn't obviously very well off at all. And most are like that. There's some sort of story about it. This was actually a couple things. The first year that I'd never been in the house. I went there four different times to drop off. We had so much food that we delivered. Okay, so
which wasn't on the list.
Yeah. So, when I first get there, I always get a tree first. You know, I make contact and find out what they need. And I haven't had a year yet where I haven't had to get a Christmas tree, lights, everything. So they normally don't even have the funds to get a Christmas tree or a stand, or so I have to get the whole setup to start off anyways. So that's normally the first contact, which is just like this year did the same thing. Well, when I dropped the tree off, you know, I was asking if they needed any food, this or that, and, you know, any help, of course, you know. And they're always very humble. And, you know, in this family, I feel like this was the first family I've ever felt like was very embarrassed about it almost, I guess you would say. They were very humble and very thankful. But most of the other years, I've got to experience actually like going in the house and kind of sitting down with them, and so the kids watch me put the tree up and this and that. I actually literally just delivered to the doorstep every single time. And I never want to intrude or, you know, let me come in. And, right. You could tell that they didn't want to. And I get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, part of what made me start this was I've been on the receiving end as a kid before, you know. So I know what it's like to have people help you out like that. And, yeah, as a kid, you love getting toys and it's everything like that. But, you know, at one point is at a certain age, you start to kind of figure out, like, this is weird. This is different, you know, like, and it doesn't feel right. And it feels weird and it's uncomfortable. And you're not sure the feelings you're going through in the process. So I get it. So I don't press it. But you could tell this is probably one of the most ran down homes and everything, but just by looking at the outside that I'd ever been to before. So, but what I did, I had an opportunity to, because I got it late. Orange Theory, the last 2 weeks, I just made announcements in my class saying, hey, you guys, I've got this family that I've adopted, or Mind Pump is adopted, and we are, trying to get as much food as we can for them. So anything you guys can drop off, you know, canned foods, this, that, literally, bro, like, I don't know, probably between all the loads I took, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000 worth of groceries.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. They won't need to get food for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on top of that, I had over 150 in Target cards, over $300 in Safeway cards. I mean, and we dropped this all off on them. So they got all that food, they got the gift cards, and then the presents were, Katrina and I went shopping I always like to get the main stuff first for the parents and help them out. So all the clothes, we got them full outfits. I got everybody a nice pair of new Nikes and sneakers. And then, you know, once you get all the need stuff, then we kind of spoil the kids, you know, whatever kid. And in this case, there was only one. So we got a ton of, you know, everything I could possibly think of that a 10-year-old girl would want. And then on top of that, people from Orange Theory and that knew that I was doing it was dropping off gifts and stuff. So it was,
well, hey, shout out to Orange Theory members, man. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, they totally pulled through. That's fantastic. And helped out a lot. So that was and I made sure to thank everybody afterwards in my classes that I knew that did, but it was pretty neat to see them all. And in a short period of time like that, I was a little nervous that I was going to have to end up doing all of it all on my own and everything like that. But everybody contributed, helped out. Mm-hmm. Doug came down with me on the last day and came and got to see them. So he got a chance to meet them also. But same thing, he didn't get to go in. We didn't get to go in, you know, so mm-hmm. I would have liked to have gone in. But you know what, like I said. You know,
yeah, you just want to respect
that. Yeah, I do. Family. I want to respect that, and it's not about that. You know, it's not about the reaction. It's not about that process for it. It's the whole idea of being able to do that for them. You know, so
well, that's rare. It's very rare to find people, you know, like you who you know go out and do that kind of stuff. Especially, I mean, I hate to stereotype, but just in the fitness industry in general, it's you know the fitness industry is so packed full of people who just give a shit about what they look like, don't really care about helping other people. And they have these, you know, these kind of these fragile egos they can't really deal with much. And then you got a guy like you who did that. So very humbling, very, very nice to see.
Well, I really feel,
I appreciate it. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Well, I don't even like to talk about it, to be honest with you, just because,
I know you weren't going to bring it up. I fucking knew it.
Yeah. No,
I'll tell you what, this is the first time I've ever seen you uncomfortable on Mind Pump.
Fuck off. Well, cause I don't like talking about it because to me, it takes away because then I feel like then you have the other spectrum, right? And I love what you brought up that it is a sad thing. And then the other side is the people that do it just for PR reasons or
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, that's classic
yeah,
PR.
Yeah. And I even had a hard time. Like I took a picture of me taking off to go dig the first delivery. And part of that was just because I was excited and my Santa hat, I'm heading out there. And then I thought about it afterwards and I'm like, fuck.
Like, I don't want to make this about me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not about me. You know what I'm saying? And so that was the last I had even said anything about it. And I really didn't say what I was doing. So probably a majority of people that follow me had no fucking clue what was going on. Yeah. But even that, like I was like, fuck, dude, I don't want this. I don't want any.
Keep the intentions pure.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were. And that's why I'm glad Sal brought it up, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it is. It's different to talk about it. And I wish you would see more of it. You know, I wish more people that was capable would. But you guys know too. So yeah, this is where I'm more like you. And I know I teased Sal way back when we did the whole if we won the lotto and all the shit that I would. But there's, you know, most certainly there's things like that. And that, I wouldn't even mention that. Those are things just that I would do things for others. I've always done things for others because I feel like I've been blessed in life. And although I know I've worked hard for it to get there, it doesn't mean that I don't feel like there's been a lot of blessings in my life along the way, you know. So I always feel the need to try and give back in any manner that we can. But you guys are... You know, I feel you guys are exactly the same way, and I feel like that's one of the things that connects all of us. I mean, even the whole, like, being in the bodybuilding world and the men's physique shit and going to the professional level, that I mean, you guys knew me before that, and you knew that it was never even about that shit. Like, so a lot of people that are attached to me from social media or this radio show, maybe I have this image of me as that guy, but that's really, I didn't wake up one day and go like, man, I want to compete one day. And I mean, I was in the training industry for over 10 years saying I would never compete. You know, the fact that they opened up a men's physique division, it was like, okay, I'll consider it. And then when I saw the direction of business, how it was going to this virtual world, I thought, okay, I need to show people, you know, they need to see that I can do this and see, and then they'll listen to me and then I can, you know, then I can, because it's hard otherwise, you know what I'm saying? So you guys always knew that's
Well, you know, they show that when people, you know, later on in life talk about, you know, important things in their life, they don't talk about, you know, objects. They don't talk about things that they purchased. They talk about experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll recommend, for example, if you have, you know, $5,000 to spend, rather than spending $5,000 on a new, you know, wardrobe or whatever, to go on a trip mm-hmm. and have an experience. Or... do like what you just did. Like these experiences, you know, they're not selfish. However, you're still getting more out of it than you are.
It enriches, you know, you and the people involved with it.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. I used to volunteer at a school and I would teach the kids about fitness. It was, you know, it was free. And I'd be there for, you know, almost all day. And it's exhausting if you've ever, you know, stood in front of, you know, mm-hmm. a whole class, you know, 35, 12-year-old kids to talk about stuff that they don't really give a shit about. But, you know, you make it fun. You have a good time. And at the end of that, you feel so, like you said, enriched. It feels very, very rewarding
mm-hmm.
To meet these kids and do that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
that's awesome.
It brings you back to purpose, you know?
Yeah, I think we need more of that in our industry.
Well, you know, this is kind of a good transition to talk about. I don't think we've ever talked about ego too much, and the role that it yes. plays.
Very big role, by the way, in the fitness industry.
It is
in various forms.
Oh, yeah. And I find that's why I find it's important to kind of talk about. It's in our wheelhouse, even though it's not completely fitness related. There's a lot of it that is, and there's a lot of stuff that's ego driven. And a lot of times, some of the freaking baddest, most awesome people that we've met and we've got chances to either interview or we've hung out with or friends of ours or connected to us some way or another in the fitness industry, you know, everybody always seems to have like this. And this, I feel this has been true since I was a fitness manager working for 24 and developing trainers and stuff and paying attention to all their egos and how everyone's different and stuff. And I feel like it's just a broader spectrum when you look at the whole fit, but it's still the same. You still see, and I'll still stand true by this, which is once again what makes you guys unique, is when you meet these trainers or these fitness people, and they've got there's a handful of things that make a great fitness inspiration or fitness trainer or whatever. They possess maybe one or two things, and some of them are just amazing at one or two things like that. But they typically end up. So having an off balance somewhere else, whether it be personality, whether it be anger issues, whether it be their insecurities, but a lot of that is ego driven. And, I'm always fascinated that's why I love people too. I love learning that about somebody. I love meeting somebody and seeing the good in them and seeing what they're great at and learning what they do very well. And then learning all about their complete,
it's undeveloped, immature ego is what it is. It makes sense, right? We're in an industry that is, revolves and based around insecurities. Most people,
physical insecurities in particular.
Right. So most people start working out because there's an insecurity that they have about themselves physically. Most people that work in fitness had an extreme insecurity about something physical and made it become part of their passion and their obsession. Mm-hmm. I started out working out in a similar way. Now, the problem is if you get stuck there, mm-hmm. if you never go beyond that, when I first started, I was extremely insecure about, certain, parts of my body or whatever physical I wanted to work out because I was skinny. And I did things that were unhealthy to attain a goal that was unattainable. I mean, I could have done anything, right? I could have gone on tons of steroids and growth hormone and whatever, and you still won't ever, attain that happiness that you're looking for because it's a deep-rooted insecurity that has nothing to do with the reality. It has nothing to do with the way you look. It's something that's inside of you. And the way it manifests is in different ways. And a lot of times the way it manifests is you get these big muscular dudes who are bitches. And I don't mean I don't mean that in a derogatory, sex term. I mean in terms of these big old looking strong dudes, and you say the wrong thing and you hurt their feelings and they're really pissed off and they're going to be assholes to everybody. They're in reality massive cowards. They want to look like these big tough guys, mm-hmm. but in reality they're
big shell they've created.
Big shell. Yeah. I can speak more from the male perspective just because I'm a guy.
Right.
But you see this in both men and women in our industry, and it's horrible. Some of the best trainers, the best people in fitness that you'll ever find are self confident mm-hmm. with themselves. They've taken that ego and they've developed it to the point now where they understand the importance of health, for example.
And they can recognize various elements of fitness and what collectively is relevant and what is not. And they don't get stuck into like certain dogmatic ways of looking at experiencing fitness and teaching it, because that's another form of ego that I see.
Absolutely.
Very, very prevalent in education as far as, well, I have, this much education and I've heard from these specific gurus, and if you're not doing it in their way, I know some. They're just elitist about it, and we'll scoff in as far as like certain techniques that may be valid, but may be old school, like old techniques that are like, well, that's ancient. This is what I heard from this certain person, and it just becomes dangerous, like. Then you become sort of just boxed into that way of thinking from,
well, that goes
from there on out.
That goes to what you're saying with ego, is that I feel like that's the ego of you having that, feel that need to have to fit in or to be a part of something. There's this side of people
you
that
want a group, yeah,
that do want to be in a box. We act like we do. Everyone says like, oh, think outside the box, be outside the box. You don't want to be the norm, but really so many people do though inside. And they don't realize that very few people want to step outside and be outside their comfort zone and to be challenged and to think that way. Everybody does want to fit in the box.
It's hard to kind of bring that up without, inherently thinking that maybe there's a contradiction there with, but from what I interpret Mind Pump really is the filter of ideas, right? And it's the seeking of furthering our knowledge. And it's not necessarily a dogma. It's not a way that, this is the right way. Like, Intel proven wrong or whatever the latest science is, this is what we're going to gravitate towards.
Yeah.
But, I pride our ability to look forward as far as other people studying elements of what we already know and then finding new, things that occur from
that. Well, you're talking about egos with trainers. You'll see a trainer who will, because what happens is they'll take their ego issues and they'll project it onto their client. So, you get a client, someone wants to, I want to feel better, I want to get in shape. And then this trainer who's got body image issues is like, we're going to make you shredded. Mm-hmm. You're going to do all this extreme shit because I'm going to make you shredded. That's what's going to make you happy. That's not true, okay?
Yeah, just because that, happened for you, just because you got super shredded and got that tiny and that was the best feeling for you.
Or, I'm Mr. Kettlebell Trainer or I'm Mr. Whatever Trainer and that's the be-all, end-all and I'm going to make you an expert at this one thing because that's what's going to make you happy. And they're projecting their own ego and insecurities onto the client. I had a lady hire me, wonderful lady, love her to death. She's a professor and she was teaching class and one of the students, she was talking about how she needs to exercise because she was diagnosed with osteopenia, which is before you get osteoporosis. And so the doctor says, you should probably try weight training. She'd never done it before. Hmm. Older woman. So student in the back knew me, raised his hand, said, oh, you need to call my friend Sal. So she, up until that point, had gone to four other trainers. Okay. One of them, she would talk about her problem. I have osteopenia. I need to get stronger, this and that. He ends the conversation with, okay, no problem. We'll have you in a bikini by summertime. She's like, okay, you obviously didn't hear a goddamn thing that I said.
Oh, my God. That's
next person's like, we're going to make you so lean and so toned. You're going to be able to see your shoulder muscles. And she's talking about osteopenia, okay?
Yeah.
Like, that's ego. Shut the fuck up, trainer. Ridiculous ego. So she comes to me and, I've been doing this for a long time now. I understand now, how to do this effectively. And I also have checked my ego. I check it every single day.
Yeah.
And so I talked about the problem. I talked about, okay, here's the solution to that problem. Here's what we're going to do. I didn't talk about how she looks. I didn't talk about how she can look in a bikini. She didn't care about any of that. And she hired me and we ended up, we've been working together now for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But that's just an example of how that ego can kind of permeate. And we got someone on our forum, a young lady on our forum who just enrolled in the bundle, the MAPS program. Mm-hmm. She, I forgot what trainer it was. Because I would love to call them out right now. They're like a famous Instagram celebrity. She paid for their program, okay? She weighs 100, I don't quite remember, but I think she's like 115 pounds. Mm. He put her on 240 grams of protein, under 50 grams of carbs, and low fat.
Ugh.
And was having her work out like crazy. And she's like, it almost ruined my body. Oh, it ruined my health. To follow this guy's thing. And you know why she stopped? I mean, the poor girl, you have so much faith in this fitness so-and-so that you're just going to you just try and muscle through it, right? The reason why she stopped, first of all, she felt like shit. Health was going down. Then her friend purchased the program. They compared notes. And guess what?
Carbon copy.
Exact same program for both of them.
So frustrating.
Exact
same program. So common, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very common.
Yes. And you got to protect yourself. If you're listening right now and you're not super versed in the fitness industry and in fitness in general, I'm going to tell you something. It sounds simple, but it's actually, this right here will save you a lot of money and it'll save your health. If something feels horrible, if you literally feel like your health is not good and this is not good and I'm following this program, but I feel horrible, don't do it.
Yeah, intuition, listen to it.
Fucking listen to your body. Don't do it.
Yeah.
I've had people come up to me with some of these diets that some of these, these ego-driven trainers will give them. And they'll come up to me and be like, yeah, I'm doing this diet, but I have diarrhea all the time. You know, yeah. It's like, well, then don't eat that way. Like, why are you still doing it?
Yeah,
you know,
the writing's on the toilet wall.
Yeah, so you got. So I mean, it's just one of those things. And I think in fitness, because of its origins, tend to be in insecurities. You have to evolve your inside as much as you evolve your outside, because you will eventually get the goal. Maybe you might get to the goal of looking the way you want, mm-hmm. but you're not going to be happy.
Well, here's taking it to the next level too, is understanding your own, right? And really grasping your own ego and your own struggles and your own things that, because there's things that can feed into that and fuel that. I catch myself all the time with stuff like that. For example, like, you know, we've spoken out a lot against Squeams and these people that are in the shreds, and we're giving everybody shit that's doing stuff like that. But at the same time too, you know, I enjoy that. I enjoy controversy. I enjoy pointing out things like that. But I also got to be careful, because I can easily feed into that and take control or take too much direction of what I really don't care about, because it really doesn't matter. And I the reason why I bring this up is because I've noticed a lot of people tagging me on all these posts, and people that and wanting me to like join in on like, oh my God, let's call this person
the
out.
Hate who's, train.
Yeah, exactly. Who's photoshopping their ass. It's like, you know, I really don't fucking care.
That's not the issue.
Yeah. And Mind Pump, like Justin said, I'm piggybacking off of what you said, is that's not what I saw Mind Pump. That's not what any of us see Mind Pump is. It's about helping people see everything, but we're not here to go and just punk the fuck everybody. And we're going to have some fun with shit. We're going to make fun of some people. We're going to tease it all lighthearted. But I also, at the same time too, I'm not on a mission of like looking at every single person's Instagram and calling them out on their propaganda. We're here to educate you so you don't get fooled by
there
that
it
shit.
Is. There it
That's
is.
What we're here to, and we're going to have a little fun with it. We're going to fucking
empowering.
We're going to tease silly companies like Shreds and their athletes and so that. We're going to have fun with that, but we're not. I don't want to be malicious, and I'm not.
Well, I think when you have a big company like that, you have to call them out because they're doing a lot of people.
And they're also serving it on a tee for us, because they almost represent what we talk about. Is they're a perfect example, and they're one of probably, I don't know, at least hundreds to thousands of companies.
There's a lot of other ones
just like them. We just utilize them because they're a huge Instagram, you know, company right now, and everyone sees them, and they're all over, and a lot of people have seen their growth. So it's an easy one to point out, but they're all over, and that's the idea of Mind Pump, is just making people aware. I don't have time, and nor do I give a shit. And I'm not going to get on Arvin's page and Joey Swole page and Devin Physique's page every day and freaking try and talk against their stuff.
Like, no, I feel like I'm kind of over it anyway. Yeah, people have heard what we have to say about it.
Yeah, and we'll always have fun with some of that. But I want people to know that. You know, that's never the mission of Mind Pump and everything like that, is never to, and I got to be careful.
It's not really it's not really their fault.
Yeah, no, it's
you
not.
You know what I mean? That's what you're trying to say. Yeah. It's the individual's fault buying their shit.
Yep.
And so what we're trying to do is create a whole nother sort of influence. Okay. We need to create influence that counters their influence, and they have a big influence. So it may look like a battle because of that.
Yeah.
And it may look negative, but all we're doing is trying to create a different movement in counter to that.
Yeah. That just happens to be the opposite, right?
Exactly. I'm not trying to destroy and murder their, you know, entire business like maliciously and all this kind of stuff. We're just trying to create awareness that this is not what we want to see in the fitness industry.
And this, in circling back to talking about, this is me checking my ego. Because this is a situation where, you know, the inside of me wants to get fed and go like, oh yeah, let me get on this page, punk the fuck out of this person and break them down. So, and then I go like, wait, who's that doing any service to? Like, really, what am I doing by doing that? All I'm doing is making myself feel better about how smart I am and how stupid you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm doing, which is also why I always type stuff about how annoyed I get when people like to do grammar checks. You know, if you're a fucking grammar Nazi and you're listening to this, you're annoying. People don't like that. All that is there is to feed your ego, to point out that you know better than the person who's writing that.
Well, dude,
good for you. You know what I'm saying?
You know how when someone's losing a debate online, when they start trying to correct grammar?
Oh yeah.
Then you know they're losing. It's like it's the equivalent of you're debating someone, and instead of them coming back at you, they like make a face and copy you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, ha, ha. Like they're trying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I fucked your mom.
It's the equivalent of that.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I think Yeah, I mean,
that felt too far.
Yeah,
so
I think it did go too far. You always go too far.
No, that's a perfect example too, because all it is a redirect. It's a redirect on something that has nothing to do with what we're debating and we're talking about intelligently. And because I didn't spell check before I sent it over to you, or, you know, you fire back and, you know, it's like, okay, what did you just accomplish right there? Because you understood what the fuck I was saying to you.
It's really empty, dude. It's so fun. Arguing to me is so empty unless it's intelligently driven to promote like a different type of awareness and create some kind of like understanding. You know, what the fuck are you doing arguing? Right. Like, me and my wife had the silliest argument last night, and we were just sitting there and like we just started laughing. We're like, okay, I'm arguing my side because this is how I felt. You know, you delivered this to me, and like, you know, you're trying to be funny, but that was like mean, you know, like this and that. And it's just like, what are you talking about? You know, that's not. And it's like, wait a minute. And we were both trying to prove our points and our sides. It's like, this is the stupidest thing ever. And we start laughing and then like move on.
Well, that's just great when you have an intelligent partner like that. Katrina, funny you brought that up, because her and I got into one last night in the same exact way, same tone, like maybe like, I don't know, 2 minutes of going back and forth before we both kind of looked at each other and like, this is getting nowhere right now. If both sat down, we ate, and then like talked about what we just talked about, like intelligently.
You know what? By the way,
that's rare in a relationship. Trust me, 34 years of my life, never met one that could do that.
By the way, if you want to be able to argue effectively, learn sales, because it's no different.
Yeah.
Like if you're arguing with someone and they bring something up and you're trying to defend it, like, well, you were mean when you said so and so.
I got one better.
You know,
for you.
It's instead of arguing with that point, concede. You're right, I was.
You're right.
You're done. Now we're going to talk about the real deal. Exactly. We're going to talk about the real issue.
You take it on the next level and you get good at sales and you learn about psychology. So you get influenced on both of them, and then you're a fucking wizard.
Well, that's why
then you pick up on everything. You can see the way their body language is, the way they're talking, the way they're acting before they even say anything like that. You already know what's coming and you know what you have to do. And that's where getting on the next level of quick thinking
to bring it back to fitness. I had this conversation the other day with my brother and a friend of his, and we were talking about plastic surgery compared or versus fitness. And fitness, when you do it right, a lot more changes than just your body. A lot of stuff has to change on the inside. The work that
goes into it,
the commitment that goes into it, the challenge, the failure, the successes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why fitness, if it's done right, and not done shortcut wise or short term wise, is such a life changer for people.
Right.
And a lot of these fitness people didn't experience that. They didn't experience that kind of stuff.
They
got there quickly because they will kind of always look that way because they're these freaks of nature, or because they are freaks of nature plus they're on lots of substances. But getting there on your own, doing it the right way, doing it the healthy way, a lot more than just your body changes.
Yeah.
You develop a much more mature, developed ego. You get those insecurities become less insecurities mm-hmm. as you develop. I am far less insecure now than I was, 15 years ago.
Right.
Far less. Look, if I get sick now, let's
15 years ago, you didn't even know it was an insecurity.
Oh, dude.
Right? 15 years ago.
Let me give an example. If I got the stomach flu right now, like you just did, right? And I lost 10, 15 pounds, it would suck, but it'd be okay. It would be horrifying for me 15 years ago. A horrifying, devastating thing. Like, oh my God, I can't handle.
So great you brought that. You know, that's the reason why I just did that post right after that happened to me.
Right. You just posted a picture of yourself.
Because I was great that you posted.
Because I'm like,
picture,
you know what? Like this is another thing too that like I've always like kind of kept these like weekly to bi-weekly. Sometimes I'll let 2 weeks go by or so, but because I got sick for 2 weeks, I actually had 3 weeks before I'd put a photo of my progress or what's going on with my nutrition and what's going on. I kind of feel like that's one of the things I like to keep up on my Instagram so people can kind of follow along what I'm doing. And so I hadn't done that. And I'm like, I feel insecure, but that a lot of that going back to the ego is like, I know better than that. And a lot of times if you're going to grow, you have to challenge that. Mm-hmm. And part of that's even a growth for me to do that because I don't like doing that, but I know that there's no way I could have done that 10 years ago where now it's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm confident and I care. I care more about the message that I'm trying to send to people in the fitness world that like, it's okay to show people that this shit happens. It happens all the fucking time. You know, I get sick for 2 weeks, I'm down, or vacation or whatever, stuff like that. Like these competitors that are professional athletes or whatever, and they post all these like videos of themselves just pumped and veined out and crazy all the time. Like, dude, that's, I got a whole library of that stuff of selfies I've taken too, but I don't post them all the time. Like, they're,
you just send those to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you've got to be, well, it's, you've got to challenge
their,
it.
Yeah. It's promoting their superhero, like, untouchableness, right?
Once again,
and so this is a very big, like, ego driven, you know, thing that I see. And this is another reason why, if you guys ask me like these names and the fitness industry and all that, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I really don't, you know, hold them in high regard. Like, I don't look up to them.
Yes, we know you're hard to impress, bro.
I'm just saying, I'm not like, I don't look at them as a hero.
Years. I think it took me years with him before I finally impressed
like,
him.
You're not my hero, dude. You know, like, I'm just, you know, I get it. I get the hard work of it, but it's just hard work out of like anything else. Like, I feel the same way now, unfortunately, with athletics, because of going through the whole process of it and realizing
it's lost its mystique.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. The curtain has been, you know, opened, and like, I see what's behind it all. I mean, there, of course, there's certain things like with art and with people that do, like, you know, are savants or people that, and that's the kind of stuff like I gravitate towards now. Like, I'm so interested in that because it's unattainable, mm-hmm. or it's, for me, it has a mystique about it still. And you know, I get it. I get where people get drawn into that because, you know, if you're starting out and you see this awesome godlike physique from that somebody's promoting all the time and never shows you flaws, you know, that's like, holy shit. Like, wow.
It's the Holy Grail.
This guy's got right. everything, you know?
So I used to have a young lady that worked with me that used to tell me, you know, this is probably 10 years ago. And, it didn't strike me back then until much later, but she used to say to me, Sal, you work out too much. You need to do more working in. She used to say that to me. Wow. Don't work out, work in.
That's heavy.
And I'd be like, shut up, and I'd go work out. but it, you know what? It struck me a few years later. Yeah, and
that's heavy, dude.
And you know what? It's like, that's 100% what it is. You want, yeah. If you want true,
I'm so gonna steal that line.
If you want, know, right? If you want,
I'll use that.
It's like a little seed. It's yeah. like a what?
I'll give. Hey, listen.
Oh my God!
It's growing.
You know what? I'll give her credit. If she's listening, her name was Lori. She used to say that to me, but it's very true. If you want to find true fitness, happiness, you know, bliss with your physique, with your body, with how you feel.
What you're about to say right now is not just, it's everything, bro.
Well, it's, I'm just
in
saying,
life, right?
I'm just saying,
in work, in life, in relationships.
But we have a lot of people listening right now who are just like, they want to look a certain way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. You will never be happy with it until you do the working in part, until yeah. you're happy. I used to tell people this all the time. They'd come to me and they'd say, I want to lose 30 pounds. And I'd say, why? And then they'd say, because of this. And I'd say, why? And ultimately they'd say, because it'll make me happy. And I'd say, you will not lose 30 pounds until you become happy first. You're not going to lose 30 pounds and become happy. You're going to become happy and then lose 30 pounds. And that's the way this all works. That's how it all of this shit works out. And it took me a long fucking time to figure that out for myself.
Oh, yeah.
But the minute I figured that out for myself and I applied it towards the people I worked with, my clients, the more successful I became at training people, the more success they found. And it made me an expert bullshit sniffer. Expert, like yeah. when you understand that and you're on social media and stuff, it's like, and I hate to say this, man, I'd say statistically, if I were to add it all up, probably 99.8% of most of the stuff you see on there is bullshit.
Oh yeah,
I know.
I mean, it sucks.
It's the frustrating,
but it's true.
Part. Yeah,
it's very, very true.
Well, it's, I mean, we're moving into a market now where, you know, social media is the new television, and those are commercials in a sense. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're constantly being fed to our brain in a sense, right? That's these feeds of Instagram and Facebook that were just these flashes that our brain are getting constantly all day long. It's just, they're advertisement in one way or another, you know, whether it be stimulating sexually, mentally, or, you know, something to do in that manner. Like, it's being advertised to you and your brain is being stimulated and you're firing and engaging in it. So that's all we're all watching is a commercial. And some people are just authentic about it, which is very rare. And then there's some people that understand the weakness of the mind and the ego. They feed into the ego.
Yeah.
How about that? I mean, that's what you see right now. That's why this is such a great topic is, you know, a lot of all this shit that's out there is internally driven by, like, shame on us for buying into that, you know, because we're just letting our ego be fed and we're not thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? We're not trying to be looking the outside, looking in on yourself. Especially, I love that, working in, you know, work in before you work out. I'm so going to bite that.
Well, think about like think about how consistent someone will be with exercise once they've figured that other stuff
out. It's like it
doesn't become an issue.
Well, and it's also the goal. Like, what'd you call it when you have that sort of depression after you achieve a goal or like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I cannot remember the name. It totally escapes
but
me.
But anyway, yeah. So you go.
Like, once you hit your pinnacle. Your
pinnacle of it, right? It's almost like, what's left?
What's next?
I mean, it's almost like retiring in a sense. Like, you have this sense of purpose. You know, you wake up every day. You're trying to accomplish this thing. So now once you lose your 10, 20 pounds, you know, like, what's left? Autopilot? You know, like, that's what you're wrapping everything around was this one thing. And you never really truly found that happiness before that.
And
right?
This is why when you do it right, when you lose 30 pounds or whatever the right way, you do learn to become happy before the 30 pounds come off. If you do it the right way.
Yeah.
Now, if you do it the wrong way and you go, you know, liquid diet or do a bunch of crazy shit, you'll lose the 30 pounds. But the likelihood of the 30 pounds staying off is much smaller. The likelihood of you actually being happy with yourself is much smaller. The likelihood of you feeling better is actually much smaller. This is why people who get gastric bypass, they undergo extensive psychological testing, extensive, you know, questionnaires. And then even then, a huge percentage of them lose weight because they have to. They cut your stomach out, right? So they have to. They end up losing 100 pounds, 150 pounds. And a large percentage of them become alcoholics or addicted to drugs or go into depression because the underlying...
There was something they didn't deal with.
It didn't get fixed. Yeah. All you did was take away their drug, but you didn't fix... what was going on underneath. They didn't become happy before they lost.
Dude, this reminds me of kind of what I'm going through and what I went through, I guess you could say, with the whole competing thing. And the reason why it's so fresh to me right now is that it's the number one thing I get asked to. And when I run into somebody in person, they say to me, the first thing everybody wants to ask me is, when's your next show? When are you competing again? What are you doing? What are you going to do now? And it's, my answer normally is, I don't know. I'm not sure. I might do like a show every year to stay relevant or like that. But honestly, I've reached what I had set out for, you know, like, so, and really the professional thing was in the back of my mind. It wasn't even the goal. It was like the ultimate. It was the pinnacle. It was like, if I actually went all the way, it was like, okay, I'm going to show everybody I can take myself from fat to fit, then from fit to a guy who's never competed before to competing. That was it. And the pro thing was like the like ultimate, like, oh, if I could actually take this all the way through, this would be the shit, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then it happened, and I went through the whole process, and and during the process, it was fucking fun. It was extremely exciting, and the momentum that came behind it and everything that was growing around it business wise and everything at the same time was a blast. And I remember Katrina having conversations with me all the time saying, like, you know, am I gonna be with the guy who's into competing for the rest of his life and everything, like, until he no longer can do it anymore. Now, I mean, you're a pro now at what you do. Is this what we're going to do? Like, is get after shows every year? And she's like asking me seriously. And I said, no, honey, I told you from the very beginning what this was all about. You know, it was all about building a business and creating that credibility for myself first. Once we're there, honestly, like, it doesn't really matter to me anymore. I'm not fed that way. That's not what matters to me. And she's like, are you sure? Because she could tell I was enjoying it. But the thing, when I went out, I set out to it, I always knew that. I always knew that as exciting as that's going to be, it just became exciting, but it wasn't about that. That's not what was feeding me internally, what was making me happy. And it's tripping people out that I don't care afterwards. Mm-hmm. If I go back on stage ever again in the rest of my life, there's like, to me, it was never, ever like that, you know, and I never let it fuel that. So it's really easy for me. And like now, and then I just come off of losing all this 17 pounds off of getting sick and being down. And instead of being devastated by it, it's like, oh, this is a perfect time to transition to my new program. You know, I'm going to start training myself differently right now. I'm going to set different goals for myself, and I'm going to focus on a whole different direction instead of focusing all on this guy who cared about competing. Like, I don't really care about competing anymore. Well, perfect opportunity.
I mean, that all kind of just ties back into our growth topic, you know, when we were talking about that. It's just like you start talking about ego, and that's how I identify, like, somebody I want to be around. Is somebody that has that sort of energy that they want to grow. Like, they're still seeking growth in their life and whatever it is. Like, if I can sense that about them, you know, you're somebody interesting to me and I want to, you know, hang out with you. Like, those are the people I want to surround myself with. Because to be honest, like, once you think you figured it all out, I mean, that's ego from there on. You know, like, I'm such an expert. I'm such an authority here. Really, are you?
No, that's
when you not learn from somebody
that's
else?
That's when you die right there. Yeah. That's when you, that's internally, that's when you die to me. Once you stop growing, once you stop learning, once you think that you're the man, you know, once you think that you're that badass, and once you start thinking, it's okay to be badass, but you always keep yourself in check.
Well, you stop working.
Yeah.
Once you think you're the best and you know everything and I'm the man, you stop.
And that's not what fitness is. Fitness is always working, but it's not work. You change the definition of that.
You enjoy it.
Yeah.
You totally
enjoy it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And with that, please leave us a 5-star rating and review, and don't forget to subscribe to Mind Pump.
Rate and review. Boo!
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.